read you from the book of Hebrews. And this is a continuation, really, of what we have been doing over the past weeks, looking at faith. And of course, faith is the essence of the Christian life, and faith is the thing that God gave us, as we know. But I want to give you this message this morning, and I've called this one the greatest knowledge of all. And I want to sort of precept this understanding that the knowledge of all is faith. And we'll go through that from a biblical point of view, and we'll see how that works. Okay, so hang in there, everyone. All right, let's go down to verse 13. I'm going to read you three verses here on faith. Well, these are from the Old Testament, men and women from the Old Testament. But it's the Bible says this: these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them. I'll just make this note. Isn't it horrible when you have a promise you don't get it? But I want you to, and just to use that as an illustration. Here it says they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God, and think of what the verse says, wherefore God, not us, is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. Let's just pray. Father, I ask you to help me this morning with the Bible and the truths of it. We ask that you would open our hearts to it, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now think about that. These people here, they embraced it by faith. They saw it from afar, yet they never obtained it. And their testimony that God was not ashamed to be called their God. That's a thought, isn't it? Because remember, if you think of last week, what we looked at, what did God require man after the garden? Was to live by faith. And we went through that last week. So that's the requirement that God gives to man. Faith. It's not a sight thing. They had sight in the garden. They had it all in the garden. Now, we have sight as well, so we'll come to that. Now, just pop over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, whoops, pulled the wrong one, went over there to Isaiah. Okay, Matthew 4 and verse 4. And this is Christ makes a statement here. And he says to Satan, this is when he's taken up into the wilderness to be tried by Satan, to know and understand what it's to be tempted as a man without sin. But he says to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And do you understand that, by understanding the Bible, do you realise that Jesus made a statement there? And the statement he is making is this: man is two parts. One part physical and two parts spiritual. So remember that God made man in his image. He said, let us make in the image. Remember, God is triune, man is triune, so we have a body, a soul and a spirit. What Christ is saying here, man should not live by bread alone. What's he talking about? He's talking about the food that is to receive for the other side, the spirit. Okay? So we've got our physical bread and we've got our spiritual bread. That's not hard to understand. So let's go right over to Genesis chapter 2, right over to Genesis chapter 2, going backwards, to verse 7. And talking about creation again, and understanding man. Remember, man is not an animal. We're not programmed. We have a free will. We're made in his image. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So what's that first part, everyone? Physical. This is this thing here. What happens when I stop breathing? And where does this thing go? Back to the dust, doesn't it? Notice the next part of the verse. And breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, into his nostrils, man became a living soul. I want you to notice the wording. He says the breath of life. And of course, one thing you understand, life comes from God. And I want to show you this morning the greatest knowledge we have is faith, but I want to show you that it takes two. You use an illustration. I want to use the word takes two this morning, and I'm going to go through this from the Bible. It takes two. So man has a body, physical, and the second part is spiritual. Two parts. You remember we looked at Abraham was given the promises, and remember what did Sarah and Hagar do? What did they do? Sarah took the handmaid, gave it to Abraham, and they had Ishmael, right? That's the first one. That's the first son they had. But the second son was who?
Isaac.
And he was given by promise, spirit, by promise. Okay, so the second one was given by faith, the first one was given by man. Okay, so one, first one was the flesh. One part. The second person born was Isaac of promise. Of course, we've studied on Isaac, and he was, and remember, Abraham had to offer up Isaac. But remember, before he offered up Isaac, which is a picture of the spiritual sacrifice, he had to offer up Ishmael first. Remember, they put Ishmael out. Of course, Ishmael is where we get now all the eastern countries of the Middle East. So it takes two. So when God made man, he made him two. And you've got to get this. And this is really important, because if we're going to understand faith, you've got to understand this principle. It takes two. Have you ever noticed if I was to say, stop breathing now, or just say, God took his hand off my heart now, and the old pump didn't work, and I would be, and what happens? You take your last breath, and I fall to the ground. I want you to think, I'm not trying to be morbid, I'm not trying to scare everyone, I'm not trying to be morbid, but have you ever seen anyone recreate? Have you ever seen the pump, ever seen the heart being pumped back again? I know you can do this, but really, have you ever really seen someone that's really dead and they bring him back? Obviously, there is a certain time. What's the name? Michael's got his hand there. But if I die, something has got to kick the heart to get it going. Would you agree? What happens then? The lungs go, gets breath again, doesn't it? It takes two. When a baby's born, birth, think about birth for a moment. The child's in the mother's womb, and it is alive, true? Very much alive. I ask a mum, and it kicks and carries on. And when a child is born, sometimes I have to do what? Give them a bit of a kickstart. Boot! It takes two, doesn't it? And what is the point I'm trying to say is that when that happens, that boot, it gets everything going, and then the lungs take in what? Air. And it breathes. So when you think how God made man in particular, he said, and he breathed into him, into the nostrils, the breath of life. And that's important. So it takes two. So we didn't evolve. True? It's impossible. Because I've always thought about this. What kickstarted this? What kickstarted that? Because it's all dead until it gets breath. Amen. It's alive. It can be alive like in the flesh, like a baby in the womb, but it's not alive as we talk about having breath. And the idea is what God does. God's the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. What God shows is that he's a Spirit. So we can understand someone who we can't see. And what he does do, he gives us an illustration of birth, and he gives an illustration of that we have spirit and we have flesh. Flesh is temporal. It means we live temporally. Jesus came to save the soul, spirit. The soul has to live somewhere because it's spirit. It can't be, doesn't go back to dust. So the idea then is we know that. And of course then when man was put outside the garden, he was put under the law of thermodynamics, as we call it, and everything breaks down. Everything dies off. The sun will die off. Everything, that's the law we, you and I, live in. Now, obviously, man would like to see if they could overcome that, but sorry, that doesn't happen that way, amen? Okay, so that's what happens to man. Now, when you think about this, the idea of two, what did God have to give Adam? Why? To reproduce. It takes two. It takes a seed and an egg. Okay? It takes two, doesn't it? And I'm just running down for some thoughts here on two, and you'll see why everything takes two. Positive and negative charge. Can't have a charge without the negative, can you? You can't have a charge without the positive. It takes two. Have you tech guys, maybe Mark can help me here, but has anyone ever written a program? It takes two. Yes, no. Zero, one. Zero, one. Zero, one. Zero, one. Yes, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. That's how they write a program for a computer. It takes two. Isn't that interesting? That's how they do it. So the simple programs, they started off with two. Maybe Isabel might help on this one. Have you ever noticed when we diagnose something, it's a yes and or a no? Yes, it's that. No, it's not. What happens if Isabel gives the no as the yes and the yes is the no? That doctor. True, isn't it? We judge someone by diagnosis, don't we? The same as a car or any other such thing. It takes two. But God is interesting, and God himself is very much in harmony with nature. He created it. And we know that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's three yet in one. You know, sometimes you can see a leaf, it has three sections, but it's one. Some of the illustrations are used, some of the most common ones are used as water, you know, under it can be ice, it can be steam, it can be a liquid, it's still one. It's still three different forms, but it's still one. Of course, when you do that, each acts differently and they have different functions. So ice is cold, liquid is for washing, say, and steam is for another thing. So they all have three different uses. Can you put it that way? Well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is exactly the same. The Father is the source of all things. The Son is the channel, and the Holy Spirit is the one who moves and acts upon us, which I'm going to talk about tonight, today. So the Godhead, so in Romans 1 it says that we can clearly understand the Godhead by the things which are made. So God the Father wasn't the one who died on the cross, was he? No, but he was the one who sent the Son. So the Son was the one who died on the cross. And what did the Holy Spirit do? Came and bear witness to it by giving us the Word of God. So and so in creation itself, everything is harmony. So water is H2. H2O, sorry. The sun is the same thing. You've got the three different rays, the heat and the light and the chemical ray, which you see the effects of. You see those things. I want to present this as we come into faith and science, and the word science. Has anyone know what the word science actually means? Knowledge. That's the word science means. It means knowledge. What is the attribute of God? Omniscience. All knowing. So he can understand the seen and the unseen. That's our problem. We can't. He's all knowing. He's infinite and we're finite. Is it he's infinite, we're finite? Is that correct? Is that the way it goes? Good, thank you. but it all works in harmony. When you and I do something that we're not too sure we should have done, what do we sometimes say? What pricks our what? Conscience. What's the word conscience mean? Knowledge. That's what it means. Shouldn't have done that. I know that. But the Godhead is free, it's in harmony. So the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's Romans 1. In other words, it's this. If you went out and looked at the world, you would know that God created it. You might not understand it, but you know that. You say, how do I know that? Because that's what God put in every man. Jesus said he lighted upon every man that came into this earth. Every man and woman has a knowledge of God. You can uneducate yourself from it, but it is there. Children, ask children. They might not be sure, but you can see God. Now, and when you sort of look at this and you think, well, three in one, well, that's three, but then why does it take two? Well, you can be a husband, a father, and a son, can't you? But it still takes two. You can't be a father without a son, and you can't be a husband without a wife, and you can't be a son without a what? Mother. It takes what? Two. Everything takes two. So God created the heaven and the earth. Two. Even though God is a triune. When you look at God and you understand God, the Trinity of God is that they all worked in separate ways on creation. And you say, well, how do you know that? So creation, God the Father spoke. He said, let there be light. The Son of God is called the Word of God in John 1:1. God spoke through the Son. And the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In everything we see in our Christian life, you see the Godhead working separately on the same outcome. Do you know that my salvation was not just by the fact that Jesus died for me? It was the very fact that the Father sent the Son. Amen? It takes two. So why are you saying all this? Because we're going to get into the knowledge of faith this morning and understand what faith is and understand that faith is the greatest knowledge of all. So we start off on that premise to give sort of some idea, a bit of a foundation to see where we're going. Now, so man has knowledge. Would you agree? We have knowledge. We can study, can't we? We can observe. We can do all those things. But can I say this to you? Man has partial knowledge. I'm going to say it again. He has partial knowledge. What do you mean? On this side, so God breathes into Adam, he becomes a living soul, and then man is put outside of the garden. He now lives under a different law, And outside the garden, what happened to man, everyone? He died what? Spiritually, because his relationship with God was what? Severed. So therefore, his knowledge of God starts to go this way. So mankind today has partial knowledge. But we do not have full knowledge. And this is where faith is the key. So faith is the greatest knowledge of all. Because what faith does, it's going to show us some things that we didn't know. And so think about what the Bible says. God is a spirit. And that's so God's a spirit, and they that worship him, Jesus said, must worship him in spirit. One, spirit. Second, truth. What's truth, everyone? Knowledge. What's spirit, everyone? Faith, if you want to put it that way. Knowledge. So I worship my Lord by the knowledge of the word of God and nothing else. Amen. This is my faith. This is my foundation. And who was the one who penned the book? Who was the one who moved the men of God to put down the scriptures over a 4,000-year period of 24 different authors, and you have a perfect Bible in your hand? Who was the one who moved men to pen it down? The Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. So spirit and truth. Who is the one that Jesus said would guide us into all truth when he left? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. You know, I'm going to make a real statement today and really hear me out, and I really wish I had learned this a long time ago. You know where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Why is it, I'm going to put this quite bluntly, is that when I got saved, I started listening to other men preach, and I'm glad I did. I was thankful for their preaching. But you know when it got better for me? When I got rid of the preaching and I started reading the Bible for myself. Amen. Think about what I'm saying. Because that is the truth for you and I individually. It's so important to get that. Because it is faith and truth. Would you agree? So it's my faith in the Word of God. Look, it's good that we need men. And look, we need preachers. Don't get me wrong. We need all that. I'm not saying we don't, but I'm just trying to say is that preaching and all that should help us to get more into understanding the Bible ourselves. Truth. Now, for the knowledge of God, it takes two. What do you mean? It takes faith and truth. So I cannot know God without what? This knowledge, okay? So we can't know him without Bible knowledge. This is the Word of God. So with understanding God, then I must have faith in the written word of God. We know that. That is the knowledge now that I need to have to understand the one you and I can't see. The faith is in the word of God. He printed it. He's gone out of his way to give us the word of God. But to be fair and understand that God is very fair. Now think about this. You know, God himself really wants to bless man. What do you mean? Well, even though we messed up in the garden and we disobeyed him, and he's a holy God, would you think that was the end of us? God's always created man to bless him. And so even when man messed up and God... And he listened to Satan and he got the knowledge of good and evil and so forth. We know that. Even when man messed up, God said in Genesis 3:15, he talks about the heel bruising the serpent. You know what he said in Genesis 3? I'm still going to bless man. I'm still going to send my son, the Son of God, to die for man on the cross. God is always wanting to bless us. But we get this thing, because we are condemned, I suppose, we get this thing in our head, the thinking that God is not there to bless us. He's always been there to bless us. He made us so he could bless man. Think about that. So he goes out of his way now to continue to bless man, and he does that. But unfortunately, because of sin entered into the world, because things changed after the garden, then we have the written word of God, and we have the Son of God who came and died for our sins. Amen. Praise God to that. I don't want to hear this nonsense today. Oh, it's just too hard. Maybe you've just never found the God who loves you. Amen. Think about that. He is a wonderful God. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And God has always wanted to bless man. And we just somehow think that's too hard. It wasn't too hard. It was the Son of God who died on the cross. That was hard. So what's this got to do with being two? I'll show you. So to be fair, when man was born, so we looked in Romans 1, that God gave man the knowledge of God. He gave man his knowledge and the things that are created so we can understand him. He gave the knowledge of God in our conscience. What do you mean? It says in Romans that the law of God is written in their heart. How come you go to some of these third world countries and they're practicing marriage and all the different laws of the Old Testament? Amen? Who told them it was right and wrong to kill someone? God is not unjust. He puts the law of God in man's heart. I guess I like what Psalm says, that only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. You have to be a fool because you have to somehow get rid of the knowledge and the conscience that you have, unless your foolish heart is darkened. Can you imagine what's happening today, what people are doing to one another? Man, I was looking at that girl that got... They were talking about, I think his name was Bailey. They take him out, he gets out of prison, he goes and kills that, goes and rapes and kills that girl. Then he has rights. Far out. I'm serious. Man is just stinking wicked. And we think it's God. No, it's not God, it's man. So the law is written on our heart. Jesus says in John 1:9, he says, that was the true light, talking about Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, I don't know if you've been around Christianity long enough, but I've been around it long enough that when I've seen children, and I've seen this on a couple of occasions, when people have died and that little kids have come out and said, Mum, we saw the angels take them. See, a little child doesn't, little heart's not so dark. God opens their eyes to things that sometimes our hard heart can't see. But it takes two this morning. So if you go over to John chapter 3, and you know the story, we all know the story of Nicodemus. He was the ruler of Israel. He came to Jesus by night, fearing to be persecuted by the Pharisees. He didn't want to be seen. And he came up to Christ that night and he said to Jesus, he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, Nicodemus, you did pretty good there, knowing that he came from God. We'll give him that much, okay? So go over to John chapter 3 with me this morning. So he comes to Jesus by night, fearing the Jews. And he asked Jesus, so let's see if I can find, where is it? Oh yeah, there we go. Let's read it. So go to verse 1 of John chapter 3. And I want to show you the principle that Jesus then gives Nicodemus, who comes to him at night. So he comes to him at night, and the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. By the way, who is Jesus? He was the Word incarnate. God became flesh. He was the God-man. The same came by night. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Well, that's a good observation, Nicodemus, but I want you to notice what Jesus now says to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see what? Kingdom of God. What's being born again? Two. First birth, one. Two. First birth, physical. Second birth, spiritual. Two. This is what he's going to say to Nicodemus. He's going to use the 1-2 principle on him. And then he says, And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, I don't know if Nicodemus has been sarcastic, but he probably was, because Jesus said later here, he says, thou being a master of Israel, knowest not these things. I think old Nicodemus was just being a little bit smart. You can't go back into a mother's womb and be reborn again, amen? How ridiculous is that? So I think he's been a little bit sarcastic. But Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. 1-2. First part, flesh. It has partial knowledge. Second part is the spiritual knowledge that Jesus Christ gives us when we ask him to come into our lives and be saved. And he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And now Jesus is going to use another illustration here. And he does this. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus uses two principles here. I'll talk about the first one. The first one is this. So he says it takes two. When a seed falls into the ground, does it bear life? It can lay there dormant, can't it? But what makes the seed get the life or come to life? Water and sun. It takes two. Now remember what God said. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the what? The breath of life. Now I know this to be true. Man can mess around with the elements. We can put a seed together and we cannot give it life. You can give it as much sun, you can give it as much water as you like, it will remain what? Dead. It's just an element. So I will say this to you now, man cannot create life. And I tell you, we can manipulate life, but we can't create it. But the wind here illustrates the third person of the Godhead. Now remember the Godhead, the Holy Ghost is the one who acts upon us, he moves, he's given us the word of God, and he's the one that moves on us. Have you ever wondered this, maybe you can help me, have you ever wondered and you said to yourself, I wonder where that thought come from? Some of the thoughts I know where they came from. Okay. But you know where that thought came from? What's Jesus talking about the wind here? And he's talking of the Spirit of God, and he talks about it like blowing which way, and you do not know which way it's coming. Now remember, we're talking of faith and knowledge here, true? That's what we're talking about. So who's ever believed something and then they've doubted it? Okay, now think for me for a moment. If you believe something, then you believe a certain knowledge, don't you? You wouldn't believe it if you didn't believe the knowledge of the fact of it. But then another thought comes and doubt comes in. Now what's doubt? The opposite, isn't it? Or it's shedding some light on the knowledge that you had and thinking to myself, maybe that's just not true. Who's been there? I know we all have. We've all been there. Now, I want you to think something about God. Remember I said God blesses man? Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who moves like the wind. And I'll use this illustration. Why is it one day that I kind of looked out at life and thinking there's got to be more to life than this? Where did that thought come from? Thinking. Have you ever noticed when you doubt something, you have no confidence? Interesting thought, isn't it? You know, since Trump got in and everything, you know, it's all about confidence. Confidence meaning, can I buy and sell? That's what this world runs on. But if you believe something, you have confidence in it and you grab hold of it and you say, that's true. Would you agree with me? But then the trouble is, something comes in and doubt, another knowledge comes in, and all of a sudden you're a little bit shaken. Have you ever thought for a moment that here's the Bible and here's the Word of God, and I'm going to show you this to you, and bear with me, and we know that the Holy Spirit was the one who penned it. And then the Holy Spirit comes along when you least expect it and starts giving you some doubts on the knowledge you already have. Who's ever had that happen? Amen. Why am I thinking this way? Why now am I thinking about a God who can't see? I'm just putting quite plainly to you is this. The Holy Spirit of God ain't dead, and he's very much moving around in the world, and he's very much alive, and he very much is bearing witness to the Word of God. He bears witness to us as Christians. He bears witness to the church. And I think, Brother John, you were saying to me yesterday, so you're saying, Simon, do you feel sorry for him? No, I don't. Because if there's one country who has more opportunity to have the knowledge of God, is this one. Amen. And as much as I've seen the Holy Spirit work in people's lives and bring the truth right up to them, you know, just like in the garden, man can have a free will and say, no, I don't want that. Hallelujah. God gave man a free will. No, I don't want that knowledge. Would you agree with me? I don't understand it with believers, Christians, people who say that they're saved, going to heaven. And then you open up the Word of God and say, look, here's the Bible. Would you like to read it? I understand there's a bit of work to do, but surely there should be a spiritual desire that now is in me. What Jesus Christ said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because that's how he created this place. Man, you know, it's something for us Christians to get stirred up about. This is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the thing that speaks to us, and he can speak to us when we least think about it. I'm thankful the Lord does. We dropped Woody off the other day and God said, go around and see someone. I won't embarrass. Amen. That's the Lord. Amen. What a blessing it is to go through this life and listen to him and hear him and then obey it. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that people have prayed for me. And just for some reason, they turn up just when you least expect it. What's that? That is what Jesus is talking about, the Holy Spirit of God moving like the wind. And I sometimes on the golf course, I see the wind blow, and I think maybe that's just the Holy Ghost of God moving. Amen? So don't ever think in our heads that somehow God leaves mankind without the witness of himself. He does not. He's gone through a lot of trouble to do that. And by God's grace, if we can be a witness to King Roy, amen. On the Word of God. And the fact that salvation was given to us so freely, all we had to do was ask for it. Second part. God gives us that second part. It takes two. You say, Simon, where's your confidence? Confidence is in God. And his word. You think about those people there in Hebrews, it says that they saw the promises afar off and they lived a certain way, yet they never received them, amen, but they'll get them one day. You know, I think just off remember, someone was talking about someone was talking about the rapture. I don't call it the rapture, I call it us our gathering unto him in the clouds when Jesus Christ comes back. By the way, if you're born again, you will all end up in the, we all go in the rapture. Think about that for a moment. I might not go now, I don't know, but I'm going. I'm either going up this way or I'm coming back with him, and at the same time I get a new body like everyone else does. Think about that. You say, what is that, Simon? That is faith. That is faith in what God said, even though it has not happened yet. Amen? That is our faith. And they embraced it. And they lived according to their faith. And you know what they said? We are strangers in this world. And God said, I'm proud to be called their God. Amen to that. What did Jesus say when he comes back? I hope I find faith on the what? Earth. Where is your faith? Think about what faith is. It's the knowledge of God that stirs us and changes how we live, how we act, and that everything we do is now that I have the Holy Spirit of God in me, and now I can just breathe it. What are you talking about, Simon? Didn't he say that when we received Christ, he gave us eternal life? You know what prayer is to me? I love this. I'm a nut. You know, the best time of my life is this. When I walk alone with the Lord. That is the greatest time I have. Oh, sorry, Hannah. You're second. but think about that. Just, you know, walking with the Lord, talking to him, praying. What, there is nothing greater on this earth than to do that right now. Because we have a faith that isn't dead. It's very much alive, and it's given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit. We all have that. God will guide you into his scriptures, give you understanding, and he will illuminate the scriptures and give you understanding that he was the one who put everything together. Now, Jesus, think about it. Jesus was to the body. We could see him. The Spirit is to the soul. The Father is to the Spirit. I won't go into that right at the moment, but do you understand that in the Bible, Jesus Christ is called the second Adam? And I'll read it to you. The first Adam was made a living soul. We read that. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And you know what they call him? A quickening spirit. What do you mean? He takes the dead, dormant part of me, which is the spiritual side of me, and completes it, fills it, gives me a complete understanding and knowledge of God, and now my confidence and my faith is in the very words of God. This is the knowledge of God, and that's where my faith is, in these words. I always say this to people, I don't really care what you believe, I'm more interested in what you do. What do you mean? Well, if you have faith in the word, then you'll do it. Now, have you ever thought about this? You know, Christianity is probably, it's one part believing, but what's the second part? Receiving. It's not just believing alone, it's receiving. We're doing that in Romans. You know, Christianity is not, I believed in Christ, but then I received him. What's that? One, two. You know, a lot of people just say, oh, it's just faith. No, it's not just faith, it's faith and. You can believe something, and that's all you do, is you believe something. Christianity is about believing and receiving. What did you and I receive when we believed on Jesus Christ? We received the Spirit of God. So it's not just about believing, it's about receiving. Would you agree? One, two. So I'm going to go through this one, two thing a little bit. Think about when Martha came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus had waited while Lazarus had died. You remember that, don't we? You know, and remember Martha said, well, Lord, if you'd been here, he would not have died. And then Jesus, then she says, talks about that he knew that he would be rise on the last day. But do you know the story that what happened? That Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. Remember that? Why is that? Why do we think that's such a great miracle?
Think about for a moment what I'm going to say to you. Lazarus is dead. He's been in the grave 4 days. Jesus says, come out. He calls his name. He's breathing again. His body's all back the way it ought to be, and his soul's back with him. Why do we find that so hard when it was God who breathed in the breath of life into man in the first place? Only God can recreate, true? Now think about this. So we're made in his image, and we sort of doubt what God can do. And yet here's my watch, right? Take my watch. And did man make the watch? Put it all together. And if I turn the clock back, or do I do it forward? If I go to New South Wales, I've got to turn it forward, don't I? And if I turn it back, you know what man can do with what he creates? He can change time. Why? By the thing he created. Why is it so hard for us to believe the one who created us can't do it again? Why is it so hard for us to understand if you created, then you can do these things because you created us? Yet we do it all the time. We don't even notice it. And that's why we are made in God's image. We can do things, we can change, we can create it, we can do those things. So you think about that. So faith is the knowledge of God. Now, what are you saying? Well, this is what I'm saying is this. That's why Jesus said to her, though a man be dead, he shall live again. When Jesus spoke to Martha, he was talking about the side of her that was dormant. Now, I'll finish with this, just this thought for everyone here this morning, and just take this thought on board. Now, the Word of God says, so faith cometh by how, what everyone?
Hearing.
And by what? The Word of God. Faith, the Word of God. Two. Would you agree? Comes by hearing. And faith, can I say this to you quite clearly, is the knowledge of God. That's what faith is. And I will preface to say this. Now that sounds all very well, Brother Simon. It takes two. It certainly takes two. Everything takes two. Faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. So faith is the knowledge of God. So here's my premise to this. Why then do people not want the knowledge of God? Why does not man not want the knowledge of God? It doesn't suit them. Good.
They can't
see him. But they can. They can know. Bible says man's without excuse. And there's two reasons that man don't want the knowledge of God. Probably the first one is man will only accept something from God if we can do it. True? We cannot earn or win anything from God. We have to either take it as a free gift or do without it. That's what God says. You either take it freely, I'll give it to you. I give you my son, I give everything freely to you. You either take it or you do without it. Because man cannot earn or win anything from God. The other reason that man doesn't want, that's our pride, would you agree? The other reason mankind does not want the knowledge of God is because of one simple word, condemnation. And the knowledge of God then makes us, everyone what? Accountable. That's why they don't want that knowledge. It makes us accountable. Why do Christians who say they're Christians don't want the knowledge of God? Because they're scared of accountability. You say, well, what is that? Because in the heart of the believer, he or she then knows that we must live for him, because we're going to live and reign with him for 1,000 years. Amen. It's accountability. You know, the knowledge of God does make us accountable, but it makes us accountable in a wonderful way. It's not God who's got the problem, it's us, when you think about it. And I would say this, it might not have been very pleasurable at the time, but I'm so thankful that he's given me his grace. I was thinking this morning, I so thank the Lord what he's given us. You know, for 32 years, however long it has been, you know, each Sunday morning I'm in church. Thank God for that. Think about that. Think about the changes what God can make in your life and what he does. Think about the blessings we have with one another. Think about the knowledge of living eternally with Jesus Christ one day. Think about the knowledge of having no fear of death. The knowledge of knowing where we go. It's a great knowledge that we have, and yet people don't want that knowledge. Isn't that sad? And you say, why don't they want it? I'll tell you why they don't want it. There's something deep-seated, and not every person, but there's something that's very deep-seated in every person. I'm not going to judge every person, because only God can see in the heart of a person. But there's something very deep-seated in man where he says to God, I'll do it my way. You know what I mean? I won't take faith. I won't go your way, Lord. I'll go my way. And there's something in a man's pride that says, no, I'm not going to go by faith. I'm going to do it my way. You know, sometimes you think of someone's funeral and they sing that song by Sinatra, I did it my way. What a sad thing that is when you think someone would say that. But faith is that thing that God puts deep down inside each and every one of us that says, believe on me. Let's close on our last hymn there. Let's close. What have we got? 351. I better turn this off. Oh.